Good morning, everybody. The shiur this morning is dedicated to the memory of Avraham Yitzchak ben Aaron HaKohen Olav HaShalom, Dr. Alvin Redkowski Olav HaShalom, Annette's husband, and of course Dr. Redkowski, who said in the past was one of the great Jewish scientists of our generation, one of the most outstanding one of them all, and a Talmud Chacham, a Yid, a Greise Talmud Chacham. It's a schus for us to learn in his memory. I just hope he'll like the share I'm going to say today. It's not an easy one. Not an easy one.
Did you ever go to the
Rimoni
for dining, the supper?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What
was that?
They had a big
banner
outside.
That's it.
It's Chodesh Tov.
Very nice. So the Rimon Inn says Chodesh Tov. Okay, very good. All right, let me... It's going to be a little different this year. And if anything, this is a topic that I have touched upon very briefly from time to time, and I want to give it fuller treatment now. Numbers 1 and 2 are the introduction to the topic. Number 1 is a medrash that says that the woman was called Isha, ki mei ish lukocha zot, because she was taken from Ish. Mikan, the Medrash says, from here we learn, shenitna ha-Torah b'lishon ha-Kodesh, Torah was given in the Holy Tongue. Hebrew, nitna ha-Torah b'lishon ha-Kodesh, Isha comes from Ish. This relationship between the two words, and that's why she's called Isha. Torah was given by Lashon HaKodesh. Rab Pinchas, Rab Chilki, B'shem Rab Simon Amri, they said, K'shem Shinitna Torah by Lashon HaKodesh, Kach Nivra HaOlam by Lashon HaKodesh. Just as Torah was given in the Holy Tongue, so too the world was created through Lashon HaKodesh. God did not say, let there be light. He said, Yehi Or. That's what he said. And so it is all of creation. Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Through the words of God, the heavens were made. That was through Lashon HaKodesh. And number 2, I have a quote from the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari, the language created by God, which he taught Adam and placed on his tongue and in his heart. God created Adam to know Hebrew. He says about this, Lashon HaKodesh is without any doubt the most perfect and most fitted to express the things specified as it is written. In other words, the language is a language of perfection. It is God's divine language. And therefore, what it describes and what it says is the word or the description best suited and fitted to describe a particular object, a thing, an idea, a feeling. And they quote the Pasuk in Bereshit, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. God brought all of the creatures to Adam that he should give them names, and whatever he gave them, that was the name. This means that it deserved such name which fitted and characterized it. Sus is the word that characterizes horse. I don't have to understand how it works, but Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says it. The best thing to call a horse is a sus, and a gamal, and an ish, and an isha, and zachar, nekeva. This shows the excellence of the holy tongue as well as the reason why the angels employed it in preference to any other. Angels only speak Lashon HaKodesh. Allah says that certain things that we don't want, we don't want the angels to have anything over us, we say them in Aramaic. Kaddish is said in Aramaic. In other words, this is our great way in which we can praise God that the angels can't infringe our rights because they don't speak Aramaic. They don't speak Aramaic, they speak only Lashon HaKodesh. So that's the introduction, that's the whole introduction. Because what I want to discuss today is a phenomenon in Lashon HaKodesh that is expressed by Rashi in this week's Sedra. This week's Sedra is Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma, we have the construction of the Mishkan and its Kelim. And toward the end of the Sedra, we have the Parsha that talks about the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. There was a copper altar. There were two altars. There was a Mizbeach outside of the building which was the Mishkan. That was the one on which all of the sacrifices were brought. And then there was a Mizbeach inside, as the Kohen would go toward the Shulchan on one side, the menorah on the other side. There was a Mizbeach. It was called either the Mizbeach HaMechoshet, the copper Mizbeach, obviously because it was made out of copper. It was also called the Mizbeach HaKetoret. The incense was brought on that Mizbeach. Now the Pasuk lists the Kelim that come with the Mizbeach. The Kelim that come with the Mizbeach. I'll read the Pasuk, you don't have it. Vasita, you should make. You should make Sirotav Lidashno. That's really the word that Rashi is going to talk about. Sirotav Lidashno. You shall make its pots. Lidashno means to clear its ashes. Every so often you have to clear the ashes. This is the regular Mizbeach. The regular Mizbeach, I'm sorry. It's the regular Mizbeach. And you should make Sirotav its pots to clear its ashes. Ya'av. The next word in the Pasuk is Ya'av. Its shovels. That's a word that we use in modern Hebrew. A dustpan is a Ya'eh. A Ya'eh. Ya'av, its shovels, its basins, its forks, and its fire pans. You shall make all vessels of copper. This is the altar that was located in the courtyard of the Mishkan. Rashi, number three, Rashi. This Rashi is going to bring us into a fascinating phenomenon of Lashon HaKodesh. And we have to understand it. Sirotav are its pots, kmin yorot, they were like kettles. Ledashno. This is the word. Ledashno. The word deshen means ashes. Ashes. Rashi says to remove its ashes. This means, let's follow through this Rashi very carefully. Lahosir dishno letachom, to remove the Mizbeach's ashes into it. You remove the ashes into this receptacle. Vizel shatir gam inklus, and this is as Unkelus rendered, limispe kitma, which means lispot hadeshem letachom, to sweep the ashes into them. Those were the sirot, the pots or the kettles, were in order to move, sweep, The Ash is into that. Now the Rashi begins to tell you. Kiyesh milod b'lashon ibid, because there are words in the Hebrew language. Mila achat mitchalefet b'pitaron l'shamej binyan u'stida, where the same word can alternate in meaning and be used to express both building and tearing down. The same root can denote two opposing activities. Fascinating phenomena. The same word, ledashno would seem to mean placing ashes on it. And instead, ledashno means to remove the ashes. And Rashi brings a number of examples in Tanakh. Kemo. For example, you also have the word batashreish shorosheha. Similar is the root shorosh of the Loshen batashreish in the phrase shoresh means root. Batashreish shorosheha means her roots took root. Took root. Edvil mashrish. And the word mashrish in the phrase a fool sending forth roots. And Avil is a fool who sends forth roots. V'chilufo, the same root, Shoresh, is used in its opposite sense in the pasuk, u'bechol tibu'ati tisharesh. In the word tisharesh, in the phrase, it will uproot among all of my produce. Tisharesh means to uproot. L'hashrish is to root. L'sharesh is to uproot. So here it is. It's of course a fascinating pun. The root of the word root is a root that can mean to root and to uproot. You got it. You followed me through that sentence. You got the phenomenon. Now, the chamohu, Rashi says, gives another example. B'si'ifehoporia. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, growing branches, poriyah of course is something which grows and is fruitful. Si'ifeha are the branches of a tree. Si'ifeha poriyah means that her branches flourish. V'chilufo, in the opposite sense, misa'if pura means destroying the branches. The word si'ifeha, si'if, that means branch. Misa'if means to remove, cut down, destroy the branches. Alright? Which means, misa'if pura, also a pasuk in Yeshayahu, that's in chapter 10, toward the end of chapter 10, where Yeshayahu describes how Sancheret, king of Ashur, who is going to exile the 10 tribes, ultimately he is going to conquer all of Yehuda except for Yerushalayim. And as he prepares for the great siege against Yerushalayim, that night the angel of death comes down upon the camp of Sancheret and destroys them all except for a few. And the imagery that's used by Yeshayahu, the commanders of the forces are called the trunk of the trees, the soldiers are the branches, the tree is going to be cut down, the branches will be destroyed, representing the entire army of Sancheret. The Kamohu, and similar, the Zeha Acharon Itzmo. Itzmo. The word Itzmo in the phrase, and this last one, Itzmo, means Shiber Atzamav, broke his bones. Etzem is a bone. Zotapam Etzem Me'atzamai. Itzmo means to destroy one's bones. Fascinating. And then one of the famous ones is Vayiskeluhu Ba'avonin. They stoned him. Liskol means to stone somebody with rocks, with pelting with stones. The chilufa, when you have the exact opposite, saklu me'even means remove its stones. And then too, vaya'azikeyu, vaya'sakleyu, this is also in Yeshayahu, famous chapter 5 of Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says, Keren Hoyel Oshirano Liyedidi, I will sing for my beloved one, Shidas Dodi Lekarno, the song of my beloved to his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard, and he took very good care of that vineyard. He built a fence around it so that no wild animals can come in and destroy it. Vayazkehu means making a fence. Vayisaklehu, and he removed its stones. Vayiskelehu means to throw stones. Vayisaklehu means to remove stones. Afkan, over here, Rashi concludes by saying Lidashno. Lidashno, which we might have thought means to bring ash and put ash there, means precisely the opposite. Lidashno, to remove the ash. Now, I'll be very open and honest and forthright. There is a response by Rabbi Yechiel Yankov Weinberg, Zechid Tzadik Bevrache. He was from the Rabbina Seminar in Berlin for after the war. He lived in Montreux in Switzerland, and the four major volumes of response are called Svi Dei Eish. He says that this phenomenon of a word meaning something and its precise opposite is not limited to Hebrew. You have it in Arabic, you have it in other languages. Well, what about English? If the house is dusty, what do you do or have the Ozetta do? You dust the house. Does dusting the house mean spreading dust to dust? To dust means to remove the dust. All right? What happens if you buy a can of pitted olives? Does it mean somebody put pits into the olives? Or somebody removed pits from the olives? Okay? I don't know, I thought of one yesterday. I thought of another one. It's a free-for-all now for about 60 seconds. Anybody can come up with another word in the English language? I thought of a good
driveway.
One.
Driveway.
Huh?
Driveway. You don't drive on a driveway. You park your car there.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you don't drive. It's not also to drive on the driveway. I need something that means exactly the opposite, though. So we have dusted and we have pitted. Bela, what was it that I said? I said us. You even said it was so brilliant of me. And I can't remember. All right. Anybody who thinks of anything in English.
There's a word for that, by the way.
There's a what? I've been looking for the word. What do you call that phenomenon in English? I don't know what it is.
I'll find it.
So I have to tell you the following. That as far as many Rishonim and Achronim, and certainly in the intellectual and spiritual world of Hasidut, this phenomenon is unique to Lashon HaKodesh. Not meaning that it doesn't exist in other languages, but that it certainly is by far more prevalent in Lashon Kodesh, and we're going to have to see why. There's going to have to be a reason for it. But first, we're going to study the phenomenon, and I'm going to give you a number of examples from different Sfarim, and we're going to come across word after word that is used in Lashon Kodesh and in Tanakh to mean something, and it's precise opposite. And as we go through that, then you'll be able to get a feeling of how widespread the phenomenon is, and you may even come across words that are going to strike you as well as being part of that phenomenon. I have found a number that I didn't see anybody talk about. In the Svarim, we're going to find, for example, a ge'er.
Pride,
conceit, high, or shiro lashem ki go'o go'o. How do you say a valley in Lashon Kodesh?
Guy.
Guy. same shodesh. A guy is a valet, and ge'a, same shodesh, means tall and high.
God, look what it means in English.
Huh? All right.
No, but
I saw one of the in one of the Chassidic Svarim, we're going to get to it, but we don't have it here on the sheet. Pele. The word Pele means something that is so wondrous, so clearly visible to all. Great wonder. And then in the in Torah, it's also used with regard to a person who makes a vow. V'ish ki yafli lindar neder. A person who is going to express a vow. But what it really means is the expression of that vow comes as a result of something that's in his neshama. There is something concealed in his neshama that he expresses by virtue of a vow. Something that he feels he needs to correct within himself. The yafli over there means that which is concealed, but it's the same shodesh as pele, which means something that is clearly seen by all. All right, listen, we're going to give you a few more. Ultimately, should we get to the end of this year, the one that we're going to have to deal with more than any, more than all, or maybe two of them. What's a kedesha?
A prostitute.
You hear the word? The word for kedusha, the same shodesh. What is it that Yehuda sends after he has lived with Tamar, and he has to give her a goat for having lived with her? So he sends his friend to find that kedusha bo'enayim, the kedusha that was on the road. And he comes back and he says, people said, Lo hayta kedesha bazeh, there was no prostitute here. Do you understand? Two words. Kedesha, kedusha, kedusha, all of them rolled into one. This is a fascinating phenomenon. Maybe the one more than anything is chesed. Chesed. In Parsha Kedoshim, we're going to get to it. Isha sheyikachet achoto, a man who's going to take his sister. It's number 10 if you want to look on the other side. The isha sheyikachet achoto bat aviv bat imo. On the left hand side. A man who's going to take his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, v'roet or ervatan, he will see her nakedness, v'hitiret ervato, and she will see his nakedness, chesedu. Chesedu. Chesed was probably the great expression of kindness and goodness and purity and beauty. And here we're talking about such ugliness. And this is called chesed. I mean, these are words, kedesha and chesed, are very serious concepts. We have to understand what's the meaning of this. But before we talk about it, let's see a number of other examples. Sfat Emet, number 4, Sfat Emet, Gezer Rebbe. B'mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, Aromimcha Hashem, we say it every morning in davening, Aromimcha Hashem, I will praise you and uplift you, O God, ki dilitani, because you have raised me. You have raised me. So the Radak, back on number 4. Aramimcha Hashem ki dili, Aramimcha ki dili, the Radak writes, ki dilitani hu lashon shiflut, v'gam lashon hitnasut, kimo dolo lanu. It's a term that describes being low. Being low. Here, I praise you, O God, because you raised and lifted me. In Hallel we say, Daloti. Oh, I was low. The Leo Shi and God saved me. I was low. So the word Dalo means low, means high. What did the daughters of Yitro tell their father when they came home early that day? That there was a Hebrew there, Dololamu, he fetched the water, he brought the water up from the well. By the way, here it's even more interesting, because what do you bring the water up with? A dali. Ah, but don't you understand the beauty of the dali? It goes down and it comes up. Built into the dali is the contradiction. It serves both purposes. It goes down and it comes up. V'inyan hu? So the Sasema says, Ki kol yedidat b'nei Yisrael utzorech aliyah. Whenever the Jewish people go down, it is in order that they should be able to rise to even greater heights afterwards. V'chol hakalut hu l'ha'alot ha'nitzotzei kedushanin shenitazru ve'ela ha'mekomot. The entire exile is that Jews should gather the sanctity from all of the world and raise and uplift it. Don't ask me what it means. This is a concept in Chassidut and Kabbalah. Then he brings Daloti. I was low. Vili Yahushia. Perush. So he learns in that pasuk in Hallel. Kol hadalut sheli hu letzorech haYeshua. Kol hadalut. Whenever I am low, that being low is in order that the great salvation will come and I will rise. It means, of course, and this is not going to be the topic of today, that every low in life is a test, and every period of difficulty is a period that also becomes an opportunity for growth. It depends on how people look at that period of time. I made a terrible mistake. I lost a great deal because of this terrible mistake. I can look at it in one of two ways. I failed, or I'm a failure. Now, there's a big difference between saying I failed or saying I'm a failure. People fail in life. Beautiful pasuk. Ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kar. The tzadik can fall seven times and stand up again. The fall does not, therefore, brand him in his own mind as a failure. I made a mistake. I failed. I picked myself up by my bootstraps. It's difficult. It's painful. I'm going through a difficult time. It looks black. But you know what? The person who feels that he failed does not give up hope on rising again. The moment the person brands himself as a failure, then he's finished. Because he's not even going to have the guts, the courage, the emotional strength to pick himself up. Daloti v'li Yahushia. Beautiful how Sosana says, every failure, every failing, every period of falling is an opportunity for great growth. Every time Klal Yisrael is down, it will emerge from that period even greater than it was before. I can't wait to see how we're going to pull ourselves out of our present. I mean, with all the failings and the failures, there must be great, great times ahead. Soon. Oh, and then he says, "For whom mamish kimo hadali." The Sfasena says it's mamish like the tail. Shegoret laomek habor. It goes down to the depth of the pit. And brings up the water. Lachain hodit hakodesh baruch hu nishmat bnei Yisrael liyot dole mayim miporot amukim. He says that's why the neshama came down onto this world, in order that the neshama should have the opportunity to rise to greatness. Right, that's enough of the Sfat Emet. So we that's another word that we can add to our list of words that have contradictory meanings. The Shem Yishmael brings a great one. They're all great, by the way. They're all great. Ki kvar amanu, we've already said, Shemilas Chet, Mishamesh Dovo V'Hipucho. The word Chet describes something and its exact opposite. Chet is sin. Chet is sin. How does the Torah describe the process of Tahara? Lechatei. Lechatei. Meichatos. The whole purification of the human being is called chatos. Chet. It's unbelievable. Is it possible that this may be following in the words of the Sfas Emes, chet is a failing, a falling, and if one knows how to deal with this falling, one can even rise to greater heights. Bathsheba says to David, if you're going to let Adoniyahu ben Chagit become king, my son Shlomo, I'm going to be sinners. And it's also Lashon Tahara. Kimo, as it says, when the Kohen comes to a house that has had spiritual leprosy, he cleans the house. By the way, we use it in modern Hebrew, a takeoff on it is exterminating or disinfecting. Disinfecting is chitui. Chitui is disinfecting. Cleansing thoroughly. Who needs more chitui than a chote? A chote's chitui is through tshuva. So he says, techat eini ve'ezo ve'etaher. Beautiful chapter in Tehillim. By the way, every chapter in Tehillim is beautiful. Techat eini ve'ezo, you purify me with the Ezov that sprinkles the waters of the Paraduma. V'zohi mamish kilishon ri'iyah shemishameshet dovar v'hipucho. He was talking about something else. I don't want to go into that. That was a whole long essay. But he says, yeah, here it is. It means one thing and its precise opposite. Now he also seems to be taking the position that there's great uniqueness and something very special. There's an idea expressed in a word that means one thing and its precise opposite. Let's go to Reb Tzadik HaKohen, number 6. Reb Tzadik HaKohen was one of the 19th century, was one of the great, great in Europe. Ivan and the early hours of this morning, I was reading a very brief biography of Rav Tzadik HaKohen, but I tell you, there's so much about him. The man was a saintly individual. He left many, many svarim, all of them, Chassidut, Machshava, very, very powerful stuff. I believe he was also a Litvak turned Chassid. And a Litvak turned holy Rebbe Chassid, that's really very powerful. So Rav Tzadik HaKohen has a sefer. One of his svarim is called Pekidat Akarim, God remembering women who are barren. Pekidat Ikarim Lechunam B'Divrei Dazal Kein V'Kol Makom. It's always called Pekida. A woman who was barren and finally gives birth, it's called Pekida. Where does it come from? Vashem Pakad Etzara. The first woman to give birth at age, what is it? It's at age 90. It's the term Pakod is used. At Tzadik HaKohen is going to say that since this word Pakod is used to describe the salvation of Sarah, and that's the first time it's used in Torah, that's the meaning of the word, it's always going to mean that throughout Tanakh. It's going to be used, well, what does Yosef at the end of Sefer Bereishis tell his brothers? Pokod Yifkod Hashem Elokim Etchem. God is going to remember you, and He is going to take you out of Egypt. Moshe comes to the Jewish people and he says, Pokod Hashem Et Amo. God has remembered His people. So now, what he wants to watch what he's going to do. Take a look at where it's underlined. Umi'achar shematzonu Yeshua harishona b'lishon pekida. Since the first salvation, the term that's used is pekida. Shmaminotu zehu shar ha'yeshua. This comes to tell us that the gate of salvation is described by the word pekida. Shar ha'yeshua shel dover zeh kishezocha shar shem Yisrael pokto. Yeshua comes when God remembers somebody. The ayin, I don't know who Beis Ayin Mem is. I also have homework to do, but he says, and we had discussed this many years ago. The chamisha mashmos b'mila pakod. The word pakod is one of the most unusual words in Torah. It has five different and distinct meanings. Udekulu isnu, and all five of them are included within that first word, Vashem Pokad Et Zorah, God remembered Zorah. Avdi Ikaro Loshon Harigocha Yon Yisham. The word Pekida really means providence, divine providence. It can be human providence, concern about something, looking at something, worrying about something. All five meanings of the word pakod all move in the same direction. The hakol lashon hashgacha, everything is lashon hashgacha. Now it gets to the first one. We're going to come soon to Parshat Pekudei. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. We just had this past Shabbos was Parshas Mishpatim Shkalim, and we read Ki Tisa, which we'll be reading again in 3 weeks. Kol ha'over al ha'pekudim, everybody who is counted has to give a half shekel. So the shodesh pay kuf dalet pakod means to count. Now, when you count something, that means you have your mind on it. You're paying attention to it. The haminyan hu hashgacha al dover amoni. Counting means that you are watching everything that's counted. Al kol pratli menu. Each one is important. Every Jew, every half shekel, every item in the Mishkan that is going to be accounted for by Moshe in Parshat Pekudei. Va'tzivu yihu hashgachas hametzaveh al hametzuveh v'hashgachas ha-metzuveh al hadova shenitztave la'asota. He's now talking about, he's talking about another meaning. A pekuda is an order. A pekuda is an order. You have to asur l'sarev pekuda. You're not permitted to refuse to carry out orders. Some say under all circumstances, and some say, no, well, I'm not going to go into that because I'll never get out of it. Okay? Pekuda is an order. Because what's an order? An order means that the one, the mitzaveh, the one who's commanding the order, is concerned about the mitzuveh, the one who's being commanded the order. And the one who's going to carry out the order is also careful and concerned to carry out the order in the way in which it was given, so everybody involved in this process is pokeh, is mashgiach, is careful, is watching that he does the right thing. Then, of course, the easiest one of all is, if I give something to somebody for safekeeping, what is it called? A pikadon. A word that we also know. Patans, shmakans, all sorts of pikdonot, shikliim and pikdonot, hiniim, in the bank. Without the word pikadon, you're lost in the bank. So a pikadon is something that is put for safekeeping. Somebody is supposed to be watching it. And then haminui lifkod hu lemashgiach al davar, appointing somebody to take care of something. Two places we have it. Yosef tells Paro there are going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of hunger. If you want to make your way through it, Yafkeid Hamelech, the king should appoint people who are going to look after this. We're going to have it in Megillat Esther. Yafkeid Hamelech Pekidim, the king appointed appointees. Appointees who are appointed are concerned about making sure that something is done. V'hamimane, the one who appoints the appointee, who mashgiach bazeh al hamitmane, he has to, in other words, the one who does the appointing has to know the buck stops by him. If he appoints somebody as his assistant, and the assistant is found wanting, then that reflects on the one who appointed him. You understand? Everybody here in this country today is concerned about who's appointed and who's appointing who, and what kind of it's yes, Hashem, yes, Hashem, we're gonna get out of it. One day we are going to be indeed an Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations, a country without any kind of corruption. Now, then, after all the meanings we have in the word Pakod, Yalu v'yovo, v'yagia, v'yizocher, v'yipakei, to remember. Pakod also means to be missing.
Miskat.
The precise opposite.
Miskat.
Because Yonatan tells David, I'm going to go to my father's Rosh Chodesh party and you will not be there, and we're going to see what my father's response is going to be. V'nifkad mosharecha, your seat will be empty. So Rav Tzadik says it's not really the opposite. It's somebody that you care about and you're concerned about whose absence is felt. Then you use the word pakod, because pakod means, you know, if it's somebody who you don't care about, their absence simply will not be felt. When do you use v'nifkad moshevecha or lo yipakeh mimenuish? No man will where did it say that? Well, you hear that in the announcements. There they use ish bal ye odair, or ish bal ye pakeh. Nobody should be missing. So then he says, v'hachesron hu meharot ha'hepech sheyesh v'chol shoresh. And then he goes on to say, here is Rav Tzadik. Rav Tzadik HaKohen, in at least 10 of his svarim, repeats this idea. And he goes a giant step further than all the rest. He says, every shodesh, every root in Lashon Kodesh means one thing and its opposite. That's the way it's built. So I can tell you already what... No, we'll save that another few minutes. What's behind it? Okay. So he says, who v'hachisoron lacking is mehorot ha'hepech sheyesh b'chol shodesh. Pakod means to know and to watch, and it also means to be missing.
So what about pokeid avon avot?
That's remember. Pokeid avon avot. Remember is one of the words. Vashem pokad et sorot. It all started from there. It all started from there. But then hear what he says. Sheyesh b'chol shodesh. He says it appears in every root in Hebrew. Al derech saklu me'even fuati tishadesh ukidome, and those are the words that were brought by Rashi. At least we get on to the next side. I may not even get to some that I found. You know, so I'm going to take just a moment. Yes? Now, I mean, you really want to steal a little bit of my thunder. Then I'm not going to... No. I'm going to do what I wanted to do. The word roga. I haven't seen any sefer, but I found it. It's clear. In Tanakh, roga has two meanings. Roga hayam v'galov. God causes the waters to churn and rise. And you know what roga means? Peace. Tranquility. Lehiraga, tiragra. Roga means, and here I pulled it out in the wee hours of this morning. I'm always doing things at the wee hours of the morning. So it says in Yirmiyahu, it says Roga Hayam Vayehemu Galov. God causes the seas to storm and the great noise of its waves. And then there's the great pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Motzo Chein Bamidbar Am Seridei Chorev Holoch Lahargi O Yisrael. It's the Haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Out in the desert, this people found great favor in the eyes of God, and therefore Holoch Lahargi O. He brings him to rest in Eretz Yisrael. Rest till we get there. So now in the Concordancia it says Raga Hidgiz, angered, his ear caused a storm, and the next one is Shachach, something recedes, something, the anger goes, it's people, Hishkit Heiniach, absolute opposites. You know, I can keep going with these examples. Let me at least give you a little bit of an approach of how to deal with this. There are two basic approaches. One approach is, in order to make absolutely certain that we don't ever make the mistake of thinking that there's more than one power in the world. There are many, many ancient nations, and most probably some even now, who saw all sorts of deities, the God of light and the God of darkness, the God of good, the God of evil. Torah wanted to make it very clear in Lashon HaKodesh that there's an absolute unity in this world, because Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, He created everything. And everything means everything and its opposite. Everything and its opposite. There are no two distinct and separate powers. By the way, this idea was put into davening, a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Yotzer or uvorei choshech, ose shalom uvorei hakol. Yotzer or, God creates the light, uvorei choshech, and He brought darkness into being. Yotzer or, ose, wait a minute. Yotzeror, Uvorei Choshech. What comes after that? Ose Shalom, Uvorei Et Hakol. It really says in Yeshayahu, Perek, Menhei, 45, it says, Uvorei Ra. Now, it doesn't mean really that God creates evil. He creates the opportunity for evil. God does not impose His will on man. Man has to live in a world in which he has freedom. Only by virtue of that freedom, only by virtue of the fact that he has two possibilities. He has Tov and Ra, Chayim and Mavet, light and darkness. They're all one, because one word can express them both. Every Shodesh represents it and its precise opposite. There is another more sophisticated, I shouldn't say sophisticated, I mean, this one is sophisticated enough there. And one can find a lot of places in davening where this idea is expressed. Mavir Yom Umbevi Laila. Yom and Laila are not the God of light and the God of darkness. It's all one. Everything is all one. And that oneness and unity that exists in the world is expressed in according to Rav Tzadik, certainly, and most probably the Shem Yishmuel and the Sfasemes, in every Shoresh in Lashon HaKodesh, that it can be understood one way or another. Because both come from one source. Just as Lashon HaKodesh comes from only one source. Lashon HaKodesh is different than all other languages, because all other languages are Haskamas Uma V'Uma. All other languages came into being because they were what came into use by agreement of human beings. There was no divine inspiration that brought about the languages. The only language that came upon the face of the earth, as the first medrash we learn, that the Rebbeinu teaches on the Marishon, that language, Lashon HaKodesh. So the language, Lashon HaKodesh, represents, in a sense, the Creator Himself, that is absolutely unity in creation. There's another approach that's taken by Rav Tzadik that really comes from the Maharal, that in all of nature, God created Zeh L'umad Zeh. There are opposing forces in the world. We once touched upon this idea when I mentioned the Maharal. The Maharal says every Moshe and Aaron need a dosan v'avicham. You can't have just Moshe and Aaron's. The idea of man's ability to choose requires that both choices be there. And God created, I mean, it's certainly in nature, I think that nature, I mean, I don't remember all my physics and all the rest of the stuff, the idea of oxygen, carbon, dioxide, all sorts of different parts of nature add different powers into the world. Let me see if we can get 5 minutes. You know what? Me and Hashem, we're going to be gesund. And so I have to tell you chesed. And I'm not going to do justice to it, so I will find another opportunity to do justice to it. Chesed means an outpouring, an overflowing, going beyond the boundaries. The Mesillas Yesharim says the chesed is the one who conducts himself lifnim mishurat hadin. And you know already about lifnim mishurat hadin. It means that he goes beyond the confines of himself. He doesn't have to do that, but he does it anyway. Anything in which one goes beyond beyond the natural or spiritual borders, either for good or for evil, it's chesed. The one whose devotion to God is going to go beyond that which God requires of him. And it's beautiful, I tell you, it's such a beautiful piece. I'll find a way to get it in. The Mesillas Yesharim says a father or a mother don't have to spell everything out for their children. Children know father or mother. They know already in their neshama, in their kishkes, they know exactly what makes them happy and what parents want of their children. Not everything has to be expressed like, take out the garbage now. And I've been telling you every day for the last 20 years of your life. Unnecessary. My kids come to visit, and one of them, who was, will somebody take out the garbage? And since he was the youngest in the family, he was always the only somebody around. He comes out to visit with his wife and four children. He walks out of the house. He takes the garbage out of the house. The Sil Shisham says, a son, daughter who's tuned in, knows exactly. It doesn't have to be expressed. It doesn't have to be said. You can say, no, that don't bother. No, not really. It's okay. The chassid is the one who's not it. The chassid knows what God's will is. And therefore, he's going to do it. Even if he personally is exempt, he's not going to take that exemption. When one shatters the bounds of morality and simply moves into an area of such ugliness, the only way to describe it is chesed. It is so ugly. There's ugly and there's very ugly. Here we're talking about a man who lives with his sister. This is taboo of the highest order, a biblical taboo. So the word chesed, within the structure or the holy meaning of the word chesed, it describes the idea of moving beyond, and you can move beyond in any way, letov or lera, in the direction of or, in the direction of choshev. That's not a full treatment of it, but this is the basic approach that is taken by Chachmei HaChassidut and Chachmei HaKabbalah. But on the word chesed, we have to say, and I saw one place, that's why there is a bird called chasida. Malka, that's exactly what I was going to say. The chasida is the stork, I believe.
Yeah.
And the Gemara says about the stork, she'ose chesed im chavroteha. She does kindness to those who are close to her, but an outpouring of kindness. But it's a treif bird. You know why? Because somebody who's not her chaver can be dying, and she won't do a thing. It's in other words, there can be an outpouring of goodness that is evil. That's absolutely evil. I'm sure the great Rishoyim of this world, and it's Feltnisht, we've had great Rishoyim, were extremely kind and good to their friends. The dogs in Auschwitz, you understand. Oseh Chesed, an outpouring of such love for their dogs. But absolutely cruel to everybody else. Chesed represents an extreme. When it's an extreme for good, that's lefnim ishurat hadin, that's tzaddik. When it's an extreme for evil, then it's absolutely evil. Same thing as the word kadesha. Kadosh means separate, distinct, set aside for. I say something should be kodesh, it becomes holy. Now somebody can be set aside for sanctified purposes, sets oneself apart to serve God, and then there's a woman who can set herself apart for ugliness. She becomes the Kadesha. There's Kedusha and there is Kadesha, all subsumed under the same Shadash. Alright, there are a few other good ones over here, but we'll just have to leave it in Mir Sashem for another time. But this is a yes? Yes. We said that in a shir 2 weeks ago. Lifnim Mishurat Hadin means moving within. But you have heard what I said. I was very careful. I said when one accepts upon himself something that he is not obligated to do, so he personally is moving beyond what he should be doing. That's why I translate.
We're looking for the word acronym.
Acronym? It's not a, no, it's not an acronym. It's not an acronym.
No.
Wait a minute. Let me just turn everything off. I can't hear.